this talk, the title for this talk originally was Houston, We Have a Problem. But when I checked that quote out, that's not actually right. That's a misquote. So better not start with a misquote. But actually, I'm going to retitle it to People, We Have a Problem. How many days go by, and I want you all to think as I'm talking, how many days go by when we hear something on the news that's really bad or terrible? It's every day, pretty much. Well, actually, no, not pretty much, it is every day. And if you were to listen to the news every hour, something new would come up that was just really bad, terrible, tragic. Now, I've got a bit of a list here. Could go on for longer, but I've only got, 20, 25 minutes maybe. So, every day, we hear about death, murder, violence, hatred, stealing, robbery, fraud, vandalism, greed, intimidation, lies, lawlessness of antisocial behaviour, selfishness, rebellion against authorities, marital infidelity, people having affairs, wars. I could go on. You can see I could have a very, very long list. You get the idea. We have a problem. Now, it seems really obvious, and it certainly doesn't take a genius to work this out, because I did it, that actually the cause of most, so actually every problem ultimately, Martin mentioned about natural disasters, weather, landslides, floods, all of that sort of thing. Now, they're as a result of sin. But the stuff we hear in the news, all of these things I've just mentioned there, are to do with what people do. People, we have a problem. Okay, so that's the trouble. People do these things. Very bad things. Now, I'm pretty sure most of us would know someone who thinks, oh, I know such and such. He's quite a nasty piece of work. I think I'll avoid him. I think we've probably all done that and know someone. I'll avoid them at all costs. Some years ago, I had a conversation at work with one of my guy, he doesn't work there anymore, but he knew I was a Christian. He knew I went to church. He knew I believed the Bible. And one day he said to me, because we were talking about stuff, and this is 10, 15 years ago, and actually things have probably got a little worse since then, and he said to me, why doesn't God just, with all of this trouble, why doesn't God just take all of the bad people out, all of the evil people out of the world, and just leave the rest of us to it? And actually things would be a lot better. And I was thinking, that's all right. Now I want us to look at that today. Wouldn't it be a better world if God just took out all of these horrible people and the evil stuff they do, that we hear on the news? If you just took them all out and just left us nice people here, wouldn't we have a better world? So, this is where I need the children to help. Now, what I want some volunteers. Don't be shy. Can I volunteer? Come on, Kevin. Now, what I want you to do, right, if we imagine all of these people here are sinners, you take the biggest one out. Let's try this. Which is the biggest person there? Just point to it. That one. Right, okay. That's it. So, anyone else? That's what you've got to do. So, let's just take all the biggest, sinners out. So, what's this person done? For those who probably won't be able to read it, that says murderers. Yeah, let's get rid of them. Anyone else on that pick? Yes. That's a yanking say there. Right, which do you think is the next biggest? Have a look. That one, right, thank you very much. Does anybody else want to guess? Oh, yes, go on then, come on. Now, let's see, the next person may need to be taken. These aren't in any particular order, of course. Right, now, hold on just like that. So, let's look at the second person on. Robbers and thieves. Yeah. There's all kinds of types of robbery, aren't there? Yeah. We'll get rid of them next. Right then, Josiah. Now, which is the biggest one here? That one? Right, okay, let's have a look. Thank you very much. So the next biggest one, let's have a look. So what's this one then? Oh, liars and cheats. yeah, people lie, they cause a lot of trouble, and people steal. And that's not just stealing. People don't rob, they mob people and they hurt them. And sometimes they end up murdering them as a robbery. And also, thieves, it's not just people that steal stuff like an armed robbery, they deliberately plan to do this. Sometimes people will see something and think, oh, steal that. This is on the spur of the moment. Some people can steal by swindling people, say an old person, as in all their life savings. Those are thieves as well. So they're a pretty nasty bunch. Liars and cheats, people that lie. They can cause all sorts of trouble. Right, now, Anna. Which is the next biggest one do you think? Have a look, think that one. Right, okay. So let's have a look, see what the next one is. Put it there. Oh, idolaters. You might think, well, actually that's not too bad really. That is a people that worship other stuff. Before other people, they put lots of other things before. But it's not just that. Idolaters. Maybe it's, the Bible says that idolatry is a sin. In fact, it's right up there in the Ten Commandments. You shall know the gods before me. So that's actually very serious. Right, so yes, let's God get rid of all the people that don't care for him. Let's get them as well. Gone. Right, next. Anyone else? Right. Do you want to go again first, off cable? That one? Right, okay. Right, yes. Of course, hypocrites. Oh yeah, say one thing, do another. Oh yeah, you shouldn't be doing that, you should, and then this go off and do exactly the same thing. Hypocrites, yeah, they cause trouble as well. Right, so get rid of them. Who was the next in line? What's your name again? Martin, that's right, Martin, right. That's the one. Okay. So, let's see what we've got now. The disobedient. Those people that don't obey the law. That can cause trouble as well. Yes, I think God, actually next on God's list, the people that are disobedient. Right, okay. Whose turn was it next? Josiah. Which is the biggest one I've ever seen? That one, yeah, okay. Right. That's a difference. Swearers and insulters. People that swear and they get lots of insults. Swearing. Well, maybe blasphemy, using God's name incorrectly. And people that insult. It's not very nice getting insults, is it? Who likes getting insults? Well, not many hands up, didn't think so. So, people that insult others and swear. Yeah, we'll get rid of that next. Go on. Isn't this going to be a great world? With all these people gone. Now, let's have a look. Who's, Anna, which is the biggest out of those two? That one. Right, brilliant. Okay, guys. I'll do the last one. That's really convenient. Then that's there. And then once that two goes. Right, thank you very much for your help. If you want, you can go and you can stay sat at the front, or you can go and sit back with your parents. It's entirely up to you. Thank you. Now, let's see what we've got here. The jealous and the selfish. Who likes someone when they're selfish? I'm not doing very well with hands up today. Okay. So, right. That was very good. I get to pick the last one. So we've got robbers, murderers, thieves, cheats, idolaters, hypocrites, the disobedient, those that swear and insult, the jealous and the selfish, and eventually... someone has to better read it out. That last one, it says, you and me. Right, okay. So, my friend's idea then is if we get rid of all of the last people, if we take all the biggest sinners out, eventually, who's going to get to? You and me. Right. You see, We could say, see, that's you and me. I'll tell you what I'm going to do with you and me. I'm going to put that alongside him or her there. Now, you and me can say, but I'm not as bad as him. I'm not as bad as him. And that's certainly on that basis. Well, yeah, actually, we're not as bad as him. But you see, because I'm the smallest. I'm the smallest out of the lot. You know, I'm not bad. You see, we have this sliding scale of sin, whereas if I were to draw a line, in fact, I think I will. I didn't have this plan, but I'm going to do it. Unless it is a dry line, it's not a permanent marker. Right, so we have this sliding scale of sin. So from very small to very big. And any point along that line could come us. Any point. So, you know, you're either a small sinner or you're a big sinner. That's how we tend to view it. Now, I'll let you into a real life conversation I had with someone. He asked me how I became a Christian, and I was talking, so I got to the point in his conversation where I could be as straightforward with him as this. Some of you may well have heard this before. My friend Kevin the plumber. And he said that. He was talking about his grandmother who was a very faithful lady. And he said, he's certain that she would be in heaven. I said, yes, Kevin, but what about you? Will you be there with her? He said, well, I hope so. But how do you know? He says, well, I'm not that bad. I says, all right then, Kevin. I've got a couple of questions for you. You're going to know where I'm headed with this. I said, right, okay, Kevin, let's have a look. So, you're standing in front of God. Have you ever told a lie? Ever? Oh, yes, he says, yes. Okay. Have you ever stolen anything? Taken anything that isn't yours? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I said, have you ever used God's name in vain? And when he gave the answer, he blasphemed in the answer. So I said, okay, Kevin, so you're standing before God. By your own admittance, you're a lying, thieving blasphemer. Do you think he's going to let you in? And Kevin says, well, if you put it like that, I don't think so. I said, but that's the way it is. That's the way it is. So, how do we stack up on this board? How do each of us stack up? Okay. Let's leave you and me out of it for the time being. We'll put me and you there. We can stand outside this and be all very objective about it. So, right, let's put that one in the middle. So, look, that roughly looks like the middle. Right in the middle. Okay. I don't want hands up, because that hasn't been very successful so far. Who's ever been jealous?
I'll do it.
Who's ever been selfish?
Yeah, that's me.
Okay. Now, swearers and insulters. Who's ever sworn, used God's name in vain, or insulted anybody? Who's ever done that?
Yeah, that's me.
Let's have a look as well. Okay. So, disobedient. Someone in here may have broken the law, but who's ever been disobedient to parents? It's good to mind on Saturday, he's standing up every time. You've been one on his master there, don't you? That's good. So, disobedient, yes? I can go on that one as well. Okay. Who's ever acted hypocritically? Said one thing and then did another? I think most of us probably have done that. But some of us might not have. Let's have a look. So, idolaters. I never worshipped a false god. I've never done that. But the question is this. Have you ever put anything before God ever? Yes. I think most of us could actually say, yes, I have. Next one. Let's say we start with this one. Liars and cheats. Has anyone ever cheated in here? And has anyone ever told a lie? I think probably, yeah, that's going to be a certainty. Okay. Robbers and thieves. Have you ever taken anything that doesn't belong to you? Probably. Maybe there's some of you saying, well, actually, no, I don't think I've ever stolen anything. So, there you go. Maybe that doesn't apply to you. Ah, okay. This is the point, and I won't ask for hands, but I suspect anyone's hand would go if I say, have you ever murdered anybody? Anyone says, no, I'm not killing anyone. What does Jesus say? If anyone is unjustly angry with someone, it's as if they've killed them. So anger, righteous anger, of course, is different from unreasonable, unrighteous anger. I think we've probably all been angry with people, really angry, and actually didn't need to be. That's as if the sin of murder. But so Jesus says. That's what the Word of God says. Okay. Now, on top of all of that, sits you and me. On top of that sits you and me. Because what the Bible says, I'm actually going to hear, the Bible says in James chapter 2 verse 10, even if there's some things on there that you haven't done, it says, whoever keeps the whole law, yet stumbles at just one point, is guilty of breaking it all. So to say I'm not this, actually isn't really very helpful. You're still as big a sinner. How are we looking now? Are we that bad? Do you remember that sliding scale of sin? I'll leave it there for a minute. On this sliding scale of sin, in God's eyes, sin is one thing. In our eyes, it can be better, or, you know, it's not that bad. That's a human view of sin. God's view is absolute. It all has the same penalty. Now, this is how God sees it. There's no big and small. It's even sinner, it isn't. God is holy. Now, we don't really have any idea of what the holiness of God means. Not really, because we have no real idea of how offensive our sin is, even if it's only very small. If you can imagine the worst sin that anyone could commit, don't spend a lot of time on it, because it won't do you any good. But just think about that. Think about, well, there's some sins right at the top here, that, you know, we can think, that's terrible. That's terrible. That's how offensive sins that we do down here are to God. It's all an offence to God. Okay? So, my friend's solution to take all of the bad people out of the world and leave all the good, nice people in doesn't work. Because you view sin from a human point of view. And we need to see how God sees it as far as we possibly can. Alright? So there's no, oh, I'm not that bad. In God's sight, you know, it's we're all sinners because we've all broken the law at some point, which means we've broken all of it. So, what does the Bible say about all of these things? actually, now I'll just backtrack a little bit. If that's not the solution, that God should take all of the bad people out, what is it? What is the solution? Right, so what I'm going to say, I'm going to... What does the Bible say about it? The Bible says, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 goes on to say, for the wages of sin is death. And that means death for every sin, every time. So every time you sin, that sin deserves death. So we've stacked up quite a sentence against it. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10 says, from our reading this morning, as for you, you were dead in trespasses and sins. So we're dead. And we have a further death sentence on top of that, because that's what our sin deserves. Right, so what we need to do, sin needs to be forgiven. Our sin against God needs to be forgiven. Now, what does the Bible say about that? We need to be reconciled to God. Our sin separates us from God, and we need to be reconciled. We need to be brought back together with God. Alright? But there's nothing we can do to pay for our sin. This is too big. All of this, I'm going to put me and you on top of that. Because that's what we are. The Bible tells us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. That's what we need to do. It then goes on to say how we do it. It said, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And what it means, righteousness? It means as morally upright and as good as God. That's what God's righteousness is, without sin. But how do we do that? How are we reconciled when we can't pay for our own sin? And we are amongst the biggest sinners. And death is the payment for sin. Death is the only payment for sin. Romans 4:25 says that Jesus was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. Now, justification means being declared morally upright as God. So, payment needs to be made. And that payment also needs to be good enough. And you won't be trying to pay for a sin, but is that payment enough? Okay. Jesus was without sin. And actually, to get into heaven, me and you need to be without sin. We need all of this to be gone. So, Jesus died in our place because he is without sin. And he died once for all. We can keep on trying to do things to make up for our sin. We can't. All the wrong things we do, we can't make up for it. Only God can do that. Only Jesus has done that. So, Jesus has died for our sin. And what Peter said next was this: repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. So it says, repent and be baptized, every one of you. The word repent means to change your mind. Firstly, about who Jesus is. And we need to see our sin as God sees it. Romans goes on to say, and if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. Jesus didn't just stay dead. He rose back to life. To show that his payment for our sin was enough. We need to know that whoever's died in our place, the payment for sin, that death, is enough. He goes on to say, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, declared as holy, as morally just and righteous God. Believe and are justified, and it's with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there's no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all, and richly blesses all who call on him. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. We need to call upon his name. We need to repent of our sin. We need to believe that Jesus was God as a man. And there was no other way for our sin to be paid for. There's nothing we've got. I read earlier, Romans 6:23, that the wages of sin is death. The end of the verse is this, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Everlasting life. Everlasting life. All who call on the name of the Lord, our sin is too big. These are the facts. Our sin is too big. The wages of sin is death. We have no way to pay for it. Jesus has, and he's paid the full price. He was raised to life, and anyone who believes in him will too be raised to life by the Holy Spirit dwelling in him. And we just need to repent, we need to call upon his name. And anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. If you genuinely see your sin and your need of a saviour, God will hear you. Right, so when can I call on the Lord's name? When do I do that? If that's how I stand, and that's what God's doing to solve this problem, how do I do it? When do I do it? Well, the Bible's very clear. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 2 says, I tell you, now is the time of God's favour. Now is the day of salvation. Romans chapter 2 verse 4. It says, or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance, which means tolerance, riches of his kindness, forbearance and patience, not realising that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance. So God's kindness, his patience, his tolerance, he allows you throughout your life to sin. If God was to stop us, if God was people say, why doesn't God stop people from sinning? Because I'll tell you what, we wouldn't do anything. People wouldn't want God stopping us at every point. God didn't create us like that. He created us to respond to him freely. Anyone who's got children will know that when you ask them to sit on a chair, you know, it's dinner time, it's so much more satisfying when they sit on it than you have to pick them up and plonk them on it. When they do it willingly, when they make a decision willingly, it's so much better. So God wants us willingly to respond to him. God's kindness leads us to repentance. And he's patient with us, it says. In 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9, he says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Everyone to come to repent, to turn, to change their mind, to walk away from all of that, and turn to him. The fact that you guys are here, whoever's listening to this, means that you're alive and you're listening, which means you have got time. You just don't know how much. But as you've just said, now is the day of God's favour. Now is the day of salvation. You see, we can come to church. I've said this before, and I do need to make this point. Coming to church, it's not a game. It's not, we don't come to church for the ritual of whatever goes on. And it's not something that good, nice, respectable people come to do. We come to church to hear what the Bible says to us about who we are, what we are. We are sinners in need of a saviour. Our sin separates us from God. And it tells us what God has done. And it's not about good works. We can't do lots of good things to make up for our sin, because it just doesn't work. God is too holy for that. If we owned the whole world and the whole universe and said, "Here you go, God, have that for my sin," it's not enough. Because that's why we don't understand what the offence of our sin is to God. It's serious. You can't get any more serious than this. So it's not something we do as a game or a ritual or something that nice, respectable people do. Your life eternally depends on it. It depends on what you believe and who you trust in for your life forever. It really does. It depends on you believing it. Let me just say that I often say this as well. Eternal life isn't something you get once you're dead. When you trust in Christ as your saviour, eternal life is something you've got now. And it's a great life to be lived. So the most important action you have to take today is to trust in Christ as your saviour. To know your sin forgiven. Because it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how you see yourself. Whether your sin is that big before God or that big. We've seen today already, it's always that big. Because we've always all broken the law at one point, and are guilty of breaking it all. So it's the most important action you can take, the most important decision you can ever make, is to trust in Christ as your saviour. The Bible says now is the day. We don't have tomorrow. We never do have tomorrow. The phrase tomorrow never comes is true. People, we have a problem. Don't walk away from the solution. Trust in Christ as your Saviour. Doesn't matter how big or small a sinner you think you are. God died for them all. Every single sin. Every single sinner that you would commit. It's not a small thing. It's the biggest thing. The biggest thing. Yes, thank you for listening. Right, we're going to sing "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, on which the Prince of Glory died. My richest gain I count but loss, and poor content on all my pride." The words of this song are, listen as we sing them, we'll see this. We are all sinners in the eyes of God, and need His forgiveness.
Oh,
Heavenly Father, we thank you that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And Lord, in all of that's just been said, Lord, we thank you that you've done all of this because you love us. Lord, that you've showered your mercy and your grace upon us. That you've given us the words of eternal life and the one through whom we can know that eternal life, the Lord Jesus Christ. So Lord, we just thank you. And I pray that you help us to understand just what it costs for our sin to be paid for, to be forgiven. Lord, that we could be free. Not, Lord, not because of anything that we've done, Lord, despite our sin, despite our rebellion, Lord, you love us and you call to us. Lord, you want no one, you want all to turn to you in repentance and faith. And Lord, you've given us time. Your Lord, yet we know it's not unlimited time. And so, Lord, I just pray that anyone here today who isn't sure, who keep thinking, I'll do it another day. Oh Lord, we thank you that we have today, and this is the day of salvation. We don't have tomorrow. So Lord, we thank you for your mercy, for your grace. We thank you that you love us. And this may seem unbelievable, but Lord, it's the only way that we can be reconciled to God. Nothing that we can do will do anything. They're just empty tokens. So Lord, we give you the honour and the praise and the glory. Speak to our hearts today. Oh Lord, that we'd be right with you, and we pray that you would build your church up down this nation. Lord, you would raise the voice in the places where we've heard this morning, where there isn't really a gospel voice, where your word isn't preached. Oh Lord, forgive us as a nation for our rebellion. And Lord, that you raise your first up as a church. And Lord, that we speak and preach, proclaim the name of Jesus unashamedly. For you are not ashamed of us. So Lord, we pray that as we go our separate ways now, Lord, watch over us. Oh Lord, that we be right with you. And Lord, in all of these things, your honour and the praise and the glory would be yours. And we ask all of this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.